So, Happy New Year, everyone. We have a wonderful verse which is a continuation of the discussion that is being had in the temple room for the past few months. So it's a continuation. It's not a special verse for the new year, in case you're wondering. We're discussing the conversation between Kashyap Muni and his wife, Diti. And we know that Diti is requesting Kashyap for a child, to have a child. And Kashyap is instructing his wife on the duties of a wife. It just so happens that the last time I spoke on Chaitanya Charitamrita, and that verse was also about the glories of women. So I think Krishna wants me to reflect about this. And I'll speak a few words. I have been warned that you have only half an hour, so we'll try and keep it within the half an hour time frame, because we want to make sure that guests who come have facilitated to have darshan of the Lord, so we'll finish early today. As the fireworks were going off last night, I was reading the commentaries of the Acharyas that time, and this was, Acharyas haven't spoken much, but they have spoken in a lot of depth in a few words. So here, the very first thing, the first line, is Yam Ahu. If you go to the Sanskrit, Yam Ahur Atmano Yardham. She, the wife, is known as the better half, and Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, she is known as the better half of the husband. Now, I was trying to find out, where does this phrase, better half, come from? So apparently they think it's come from the 15th century England. Somebody at some point said, oh, your wife is your better half. But the reality is we have it in Srimad Bhagavatam, that wife is the better half. Well, actually, Bhagavatam doesn't say the better word, but just says wife is your half. So it says, Yam ahur atmanaho hi ardham, ardham, half. Wife is your half, is your other half. Ahu means it has been spoken, it has been established that when you are married, you are no longer alone. Your wife is as much a part of your existence as you are. You have chosen to divide your pleasures and pains and your duties with another person, and that other person is your wife. And ahu means it has been spoken. Spoken where? So the Acharyas explain the word ahu has been mentioned pramanam etad, as a evidence. This has been spoken of in the Shastra. This has been spoken of in the Shastra. In Taittiriya Samhita it is mentioned, Ardho va esha atmano yat patni, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes, that even the Vedas, they say, Ardho va atmanah patni, half of yourself is your wife. So even Bhagavatam, when it is mentioning a statement, or Kashyap Muni is mentioning a statement, he is quoting from Shastra. He is not speaking in an imaginary manner. And the next line is very important. Shreyas Kamasya Manini. And Srila Prabhupada says, the main duty of a wife is to assist the husband. Shreyas Kamasya. What is the meaning of Shreyas? Anyone knows? Shelter. Ultimate good. Yes. In our day-to-day life, we always have choices. And amongst various choices, you could divide all the choices that we have in two categories, Shastra says. The two categories are Shreyas and Prayas. Actually, there's a very nice episode in the Kathopanishad where, I shouldn't say that, it'll take time. But the essence is you have Yamraj talking to Nachiketa. Kripa Mahaprabhu speaks about it many times. So Nachiketa, he is asking Yamraj for spiritual knowledge. And Yamraj in return says, well, you can become the Lord of the worlds, you can ask anything else but spiritual knowledge. And Nachiketa says, no, I just want spiritual knowledge. So he makes a choice. So what is Shreyas? Shreyas is that which is for one's ultimate welfare. And Prayas is that which is for one's immediate happiness or satisfaction. So one has to choose the path of Shreyas over Prayas. And only when the husband seeks Shreyas, which is spiritual advancement essentially, and not Prayas, which is sense pleasure, then the wife's real function is fulfilled. The wife is not meant to be, as Srila Prabhupada says it, how does he say? The sense gratificatory agency. Wife is not meant to be a sense gratificatory agency. She's meant to be an equal partner for Shreyas. And I think that is the important aspect for one to understand. So what are the duties of a woman, of a wife? Manu Samhita mentions duties in brief. Manu Samhita says, Utpadanam apattasya. Utpadanam means to give birth to children, to have family, to expand the family. Jatasya paripalanam, and once the children are born, to look after them, maintain them, nourish them, guide them. Mother is the first guru. Pratyaham loka yatraya. Now, not every couple has children, so it's not a compulsory thing. But the third one, pratyaham, day to day, every day, loka yatraya. Everyday affairs are managed by the women. Some men might be surprised that in the Vedic society, all finances, all bank accounts, all properties, all decisions in the house, whether the walls should be pink or yellow or blue, all of those decisions were taken solely by the wife. So please relinquish your bank accounts to your wives. I'm not giving that instruction. I'm just saying it's a joke. But yeah, in modern day context, we think that, oh, women were not having an equal partnership. In fact, quite the opposite. It is mentioned that when even the five Pandavas in the forest of all places, when they would get something, the first thing they would do is go and ask Kunti Maharani, Mother, we've got this, what do we do? And whatever she said would be the final word. And of course, once they got Draupadi, And she didn't see what they had brought. And they thought, we'll keep it as a surprise. So I said, Mom, we've got something surprise for you. And she says, oh, whatever it is, you can divide equally amongst five of you. So Draupadi marries all five. This is one version, one way of thinking. But the idea being that women had the ultimate authority to take decisions in loka yatraya pratyaham, on day-to-day affairs. It wasn't a man's thing. It wasn't a man's business to dictate day-to-day affairs. What will we cook today? Now, generally the men are saying, oh yeah, I want to have this, I want to have that. Actually, the women should say, no, you'll get this. This is what you're going to get. Now, that's the duty of a wife. What's the duty of a husband? Anyone? Huh? Sorry? I can't hear you. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu? Yes, Panchayajna. That is one duty, to perform Panchayajna, dharma, acts of dharma. Yes? Somebody else said something? Spiritual enlightenment. Spiritual enlightenment, yeah. So Amarkosh gives four words for a husband, and these are the four duties. So those who are husbands, to be husbands. Those who are not husbands, you can still listen. Davaha, davaha priyaha patir bhartaha. Amarkosh says, davaha, first duty of a husband is davaha, dunoti iti davaha. Davaha means to assist in washing away one's sins or washing away one's base nature, cleaning oneself, purifying one's life. It's the husband's duty to facilitate, to encourage, and to support the wife and the children so that they can purify their existence. That's not a duty of a wife, it's a duty of a husband. Second, priyaha. Preenati iti priyaha. It's a duty of the husband to please the wife. Oh, I want a new dress. Of course. I want a new car. Sure. I think our house is too small. Need a bigger one. Yes, I'll do everything I can. Of course, the wives have to be a bit more considerate. But generally, if you have a good relationship, then the wife is very careful in the demands that she makes. But it is the duty of the husband to please the wife, not to ignore her. Most women feel ignored, not heard. I think for women it's more important to be heard than anything else, because the women are mainly looking for emotional shelter. And sometimes even if the man hears them, doesn't do it, but hears them, they think, oh, we are satisfied. So most women feel in Kali Yuga completely ignored and unloved. Patihi, third duty of husband is to be a pati. Pati means pati iti patihi. One who protects. It's the duty of a husband to protect the wife in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally. And finally, bharta. Bharta means bibharti iti bharta. To provide, to nourish. It's the husband's duty to provide, to earn the daily bread. The wife may also want to do something, which is fine, which is by the by. But the main bread earner, the husband has to have the... Basically, the man is got a very onerous, very responsible position. Women too, but the man cannot be taking it in a easy way. The most important thing in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, fifth chapter, verse number 18, we have discussion between Rishabhdeva and his 100 sons. And in that discussion, there's a beautiful verse where he says, Gurur nasasyat, pita nasasyat. There he also says, pati nasasyat. One should not become a husband if namo chayedya samupeta mrityum. If, when death arrives, if the husband has not enabled, facilitated the wife to face death, how do you face death? By remembering Krishna. And if the husband has not facilitated that, the husband's given everything, house, clothing, shelter, food, made every arrangement, but not given spiritual encouragement to the wife. Now the wife may not be spiritually inclined. But that's not the consideration. The fact somebody is less inclined or not inclined should not mean that one does not give them the facility. So one should give every facility to the whole family to become spiritually elevated. And that is a duty, the most important duty. Otherwise, Rishabhdev says, you better not be a husband. Pati na sasyat. Na sasyat. He may not be a husband if namo chayedya samupeta mrityum. Because if the dependents have not been given the facility, there is no possibility for the husband to go back to Godhead. Listen to this carefully. If you've not done your part, you'll have to come back to finish your part. You can't go back. So it's extremely important. And how does a woman, how would a woman contribute to the husband? Anyone? How does a woman, how does the wife contribute? Sorry? Support in what way? To be patient? Yeah? What else? Very good. Sorry? She cooks, okay, yeah? Cooks, nurtures, yes. What else? Mali, what else? Sundari, anything? Nurtures the children spiritually, yes. Does anyone, do you know the verse where Krishna says there are seven qualities, feminine qualities, that he represents, feminine qualities? These are in the 10th chapter. We have our Veda-based person here. 10th chapter, text number 34. Can you help us? Bhagavad Gita, 10:34. Seven. Kirtihi, Shri. Okay, yeah, thank you. So, no, this isn't the right one. Oh, it is, yes, yeah. So, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, these seven are feminine qualities that are actually part of my opulence. Krishna is saying these are seven feminine qualities that are part of my opulence, and in fact, anyone who possesses these, any one of these, possesses this feminine quality. What are these? Kirtihi, Shri Vak Chanarinam. Kirtihi, Shri Vak. Kirti, Shri Vak. Smriti Medha Dhriti Kshama. Smriti Medha Dhriti, Kshama. These are seven. These seven, also interestingly, these seven are feminine gender nouns also in Sanskrit. So Kirti, you will, if you know, lots of Indian ladies, they have these names, Kirti, Shri, especially in South India, lots of Shri, Vak, not so common, but Vak, Smriti, Medha, Dhriti, Kshama, these are all female names also, because these are feminine words in Sanskrit, but also female qualities. In fact, Baldevidya Bhushan, he in his commentary says these are seven feminine deities who are expansions of Krishna. And these, each one of these deities is associated with a feminine quality which a female possesses. And it's through these qualities that the female can bring stability in the grihastha ashram. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that each one of these deity is a personal expansion of Krishna himself. And we can see each one of them. Kirti, for example. Kirti. Fame. Who's the most famous female? Krishna is famous because his devotees made him famous. Yeah, that's true. Huh? Who's the most famous of all devotees in Bhagavatam? Come on, give me names. Huh? Radharani? She's not directly mentioned in Bhagavatam, is she? Not really. Huh? Yashoda? Tulsi Maharani? Kunti Maharani? Rukmini? You know, we are trying to speak Krishna Katha, and this Krishna Katha may or may not have any influence on any of you. But there is someone, when they speak Krishna Katha, the three worlds, the lower planet, the middle planet, and the upper planet get purified. Who are they? Come on, I gave you the hint. Yes. Yes, who said it? Someone said it. Gopis. Yes. Uddhav went on Krishna's insistence. Please go to these Brajwasis and give them my message. So Uddhav, who's the cousin, he went. And we find in 10th canto, chapter 47, Uddhav is going to the gopis and he's telling the gopis, my dear ladies, Krishna is everywhere. Why are you crying for him? And ultimately he realizes how much love the gopis have for Krishna. And what does he conclude? Uddhav concludes by saying, verse number 63, Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam. I pay my obeisances to these ladies. Actually, he's telling them directly, the gopis. He's saying, I pay my obeisances to Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam. I pay my obeisances to these Vrajagopis. He's telling them, I pay obeisances to you. Padarenum Abhikshnashaha. Again and again, eternally, I don't just pay obeisances to you, I pay obeisances to the dust of your feet. Yasam Hari Kathod Gitam. Why? Because when Hari Katha comes from your mouth, Udgitam, Yasam Hari Kathod Gitam, Punati Bhuvanatrayam, with the Hari Katha coming out from your mouth, Punati Bhuvanatrayam, the three worlds get purified. This is your glory. You are the most glorious. So what is the first quality Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita? 10:34, Kirti. Fame. Who is the most famous? The gopis. Females. A wife can make a husband famous or infamous. Another, next quality is Shri. Shri means beauty. Eighth canto, chapter 9. Who's there in eighth canto, chapter 9? Oh, when I was speaking on the eighth canto last year, I had a few brahmacharis attending the session. Yes, Mohini Murthy. And we had Panchatattva Prabhu and a few other brahmacharis. And at one point, as I was describing the beauty of Mohini Murthy, Panchatattva Prabhu suddenly stood up and I thought he was going to leave, but he went to the back of the room and he said, I want to listen more attentively. So beautiful. Huh? Isn't it? He's Krishna. So when Krishna wants to bewilder the demons, he doesn't become a machoistic person or a very sweet, you know, singing on the flute. That attracts the sattvic devotees. Maybe the devatas are attracted. But when he wants to attract the demons, the demigods and humans, who does he become? He takes the form of a beautiful female. So Shri, beauty. Please go home and read 8th canto, chapter 9. The beauty of Mohini Murthy is so mesmerizing. You'll forget all other worldly beauties. Every limb of her is described. In fact, so much so that Lord Shiva, who is, you know, he's a Mahadeva. He's very composed. He doesn't get bewildered. Why? Because his very wife is Mayadevi Shakshat. He's his own wife. There's nothing that can bewilder him. Mayadevi Parvati is his own wife. And still, when Mohini Murthy comes on the scene with the ankle bells, I can't quite do ankle bells, but yeah, you get it. So, when she comes on the scene, Shiva, Mahadev, he runs behind her and she has to run away. And he runs like a madman. And all the sages, they are wondering, oh, what's going on? And Parvati Devi, she stops him, please, my husband, I'm here. He says, out of my way, I want that lady. See, the beauty. So women can be very enchanting. Wealth, wine and women. They can make you and break you. Well, wine can't really, but I heard it from a Christian. He said wine can, because they think, you know, Jesus took the form of wine. Anyway, that's the Last Supper. We don't want to go into that discussion. But yeah, so women, very beautiful. Real beauty is feminine beauty. So here we see Shri, second quality, feminine. Women can assist through their charms, beauty. Husband's going on the wrong path. She can be very, you know, in a very enchanting way, she can say, no, please, let's be more spiritual minded. So she helps. Next is Vak. Vak means speech. Of all the prayers in Bhagavatam, all the prayers, of course there is Gopi Geet, so we'll exclude that because we've taken the example of gopis already. Give me another set of prayers which are the most eloquent. Eloquent means most beautiful worded. Vak. Vak means words. From vak in Sanskrit came the Latin vox, from which we have the English word voice, okay, or vocal. So vak. So most beautiful words. Whose words are the most beautiful? Prayers. Queen Kunti. Even the Mayavadi sannyasis who run away from women, every day they are singing Kunti Maharani's prayers. She's a woman. But no ordinary woman. Her prayers. I mean, we should read First Canto, chapter 8. We have, for example, one of the prayer. I mean, we can pick any verse from Kunti Maharani's prayer. Anyone? Huh? Oh, Janmaishwarya Shruta Shri Bhir Edhamana Madhapuman. Such a high level of truth spoken in fewest possible words. That is eloquence. That is true eloquence. Janma Aishwarya Shruta Shri Bhi. Prabhu quoted the verse, so I'm just picking that. Birth, Janma, Aishwarya, wealth, Shruta, learning, and Shri, beauty, these four, Edamana, Madhapuman, these four will increase your madaha, your madness. So Kunti Maharani says, check them. Check these four. This is just an example, a sample of her prayers, right? So most wonderful prayers. First Canto, chapter 8. Next quality. Smriti, remembrance. Give me an example of a devotee. What is true remembrance? What is the ultimate remembrance? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that true remembrance is remembrance of Him. Give me an example. Yashoda, yeah. She's always thinking of Krishna. Draupadi. Yeah, Draupadi. Rukmini. Yes. Prahlada is not a female. I just want female examples. But of course, Prahlada Maharaj is example of one who has not Vandanam, Smaranam. One who has perfected his life through Smaranam. So you are right, whoever said that, as an example he is right, but I am asking for, the example I am thinking of is Uttara. This lady, she had, surrounding her were five giant warriors. Who were there? The five Pandavas. And so many other, you know, people who could protect her. But when Ashwatthama, he fired the Brahmastra, what did she do? Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. So you can imagine the scene. Uttara is standing. The Brahmastra is coming to burn her womb. And instead of going to Yudhishthir, Bhim, Arjun, Nakula, Sahadev, instead of going to any of them, Smriti, she remembers whom? Pahi Pahi Mahayogin. Deva Deva. Oh my Lord, oh Lord of Lords. Pahi Pahi, please protect me. She doesn't say, Yudhishthir, protect me, Arjuna, because she knows these are all fallible. Everyone's fallible, except for my Lord. Who gave us this example? Uttara. Which chapter? Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto? Yes, very good. Chapter 8, text 9. Same chapter as Kunti Maharani's prayer, you're right. So the Uttara's example is for Smriti. Next, Prabhu, next. Medha. Medha means intelligence. Actually, acharyas have commented that intelligence is a quality of a female. It's a feminine quality. What do we mean by feminine quality? It means taking a softer approach to things, gentle approach to things, and thinking deeply. Now, give me an example of a female intelligence. Don't repeat any of the previous examples. Come on, huh? Lakshman's wife, okay. Huh? Yeah. Where is it mentioned in Bhagavatam? Ninth canto speaks about Raman. Ninth canto does speak about Ramachandra, but I don't recollect mentioning this. Yeah, let's just stick to Bhagavatam. It's a Bhagavatam class. But yeah, you can think of. You know who I can think of? Yes. Rukmini. Why Rukmini? Sorry? I can't see where... Huh?
She sent a letter to Krishna through the Brahmana.
Ah, she... That's... But where is the... You know, I want some example of very complex intellectual stuff digested by no one other than a female, huh? Suniti? Okay. Yes, Devahuti. Imagine, you see, amongst all the six philosophies, you have six philosophies, six darshanas. Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. Of the six darshanas, Sankhya is considered to be the most difficult to comprehend. Sankhya. It's very technical, analytical. And yet, if you read third canto, I should finish? Okay, all right. The bosses have asked me to stop. So we shall stop let me finish this sentence. So Sankhya is the most difficult to comprehend, and yet we have Mother Devahuti, who's made as an example of someone who can comprehend the most complex. So you can read about it, third canto, chapter 23-31, if you haven't. The other three examples, fortunately he's told me to stop and left the room, so that's good. Let me finish. Two more examples, right? Yeah, Dhriti and Kshama. Dhriti means forbearance. You see, Devaki, even after seeing all the children being killed in front of her, she had the forbearance to continue awaiting for the Lord to arrive. And Kshama, forgiveness. You know, even when all of her children were killed by... Huh? No. We have to give a different example. By Ashwatthama. Draupadi, what does she say? Forgive this son of a Brahmana. So anyway, I'll conclude by saying these wonderful qualities of a female should be nurtured by every wife, every woman, to employ them in the right way to develop and elevate the husband spiritually. So that is the crux of this verse. There are a few other things that we do not have time to discuss. Thank you very much. And we'll have to make the room empty for the guests to come and have darshan. I think that's why they wanted me to stop. Thank you. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki? Thank you very much.